wrote this book 3 years ago, and it came out of my own growth from my own post-traumatic stress related to my job as a police officer, which I was diagnosed with in 2012. So I previously wrote a book more about that, you know, kind of my more personal journey that came out in 2016. The feedback to that was unbelievable. It was so humbling. And I received all kinds of, you know, stories and started communicating with people. You know, some were horror stories about how first responders and frontline responders were treated. Or amazing stories of compassion and growth. And I thought, wow, there's really a common theme here. And the theme I kept seeing was that people in positions of leadership in the lives of these people I was speaking with made such a huge impact, either for the better or for the worse. And when I started to really sit down and kind of compile these stories and then compare it to my own, or, you know, compile my own experiences as well, I sort of came to a conclusion that leadership for those dealing with mental health issues, regardless of the field, is so, so crucial. And I kind of put all those things together into the original book, which was a series of sort of short, you know, vignettes almost. Everyone had, you know, each of them had a topic illustrated by a couple of quotes. And then the time seemed right, you know, early last year, middle of 2020, to start revamping it. I mean, COVID was hitting, leadership was taking a radical new direction with, you know, working through COVID. I went, in the 3 years since, I went through some personal experiences of my own that further added to my growth. I took some more time off work to do some more, you know, work on myself. So all these factors kind of came together, and I thought, you know what, it's time to put these together into a new version. So I spent the last 6 months, or, well, I guess 12 months, about a year, rewriting the book. And then the grand launch was last week, and, you know, to put the new version out into the world with a lot more material, with a whole chapter on COVID and all these new experiences and new people who inspired me in the last 3 years included.
So let's talk about the pandemic and the impact that it has had on people struggling with mental health and especially in the workplace.
Well, yeah, it's had that dual effect, right? It's had multiple effects, but there's kind of been that sort of the leadership side and the team side. So I'll start from the team side first. So, you know, all of a sudden people who are used to having, it's sort of a traditional work environment where they see their coworkers every day, they're able to, you know, usually have contact with their manager, their supervisor quite easily, and suddenly they're told, hey, guess what, you're working from home. And suddenly you're cut off from all your support, you're cut off from your networks, and you're expected to all of a sudden be as productive at home as you are at work with none of the infrastructure in place. Add to that the fact that, you know, sort of people were worried about their own health, the health of their families, the health of friends and loved ones, if they worked in the medical field or in the frontline responder field. I mean, and it was just a complete, you know, shift for the workforce. And then on the leadership side of that, for a lot of people in leadership roles, it was their first time dealing with, you know, distance leadership, trying to lead through Zoom call or text or Skype or phone calls. You know, it's way different when your only full-time contact with your team is electronic, and, you know, you're only seeing them all, say, on a Zoom call on Monday morning when, like I said, you used to be able to walk down the hall to their office or their cubicle or pull them in off the shop floor, whatever the case may be. So there was a lot of adjustment on both sides. Oh, plus, just because you're in a leadership role doesn't mean you're not, you know, still worried about your own finances and your own health and the health of your family. So there was this massive, you know, pivot in how people had to start thinking about leadership. And for some people I spoke with really seemed to get it and really got the idea of sort of managing from afar, leading from afar, and some of them just didn't. And I think we're going to be seeing the repercussions of that for years to come as the workforce, you know, kind of has to learn how to work together again. So it's just been this massive shift. And as if you're a student of leadership, it's actually been a fascinating experience to watch, to see how people grow and develop, or sometimes, unfortunately, do the opposite and kind of turtle into their shell and hide in the corner and hope it goes away.
Yeah, no doubt. So from your own experiences over the last goodness knows how many years now, along with the results and the feedback you got from the first edition of the book, what is the best piece of advice you can give either to someone who's already in a leadership role or someone who's looking to take on a leadership role about how to put mental health at the forefront?
Out of everything, say, in the book or in my experiences, the very first chapter, Robin, is communication. I honestly believe that communication in whatever form is really the bedrock of sort of this concept of putting the health and wellness of your team first and making sure that's your, you know, that's your foundation for leadership. And that means lots of things. That means having difficult conversations and sometimes having to ask your team or your coworkers some uncomfortable questions about their state of mind, about their health, about, you know, where are they as a person right now, as a team member. It means your own, you know, your own words, your own take on mental health. You know, do you actually believe that mental health in the workplace or for your team is an important thing? Or do you just pay it lip service and use the buzzwords and then hope nobody comes to you with an actual problem? It's how you communicate with your peers. You know, it's being an advocate. It's being a champion for it. And again, you know, honestly supporting mental health initiatives in your life. And, you know, not having sort of one mask where you support it and the other mask where, you know, when you're with your leadership team, you just laugh about it and go, oh, yeah, here we go. Another, you know, another program, another huggy-feely, you know, program. That mindset is still out there, unfortunately. And I've seen it and heard it over and over in my career and from people who I've met during my career. You really do need to become kind of a student of the art of conversation and communication. And it's not always pretty, and it's not always easy. But the day that you realize that someone has come to you with their problem and you have let them open a door into a problem that might have been, you know, haunting them for months or years, you'll get it. You'll see that light in a person's eye. You'll see them understand that they're not alone, and you understand. And when you have one of those moments, it makes all those difficult conversations you had to slug through worth it.
So tell us about getting the book for ourselves. Where do we go? How do we get a hold of this?
Well, the book came out September 9th, and it's available paperback, hardcover, and electronic copy, both for Kindle from Amazon and other sources. It's on Amazon. It's on Apple Books, or whatever that program is called now. I don't have an Apple, so I don't have an i product, so I'm not sure what it's called now. My kids would be the experts on that. It's available at, you know, other retailers, Chapters, Indigo, Barnes & Noble, both online and if you have a favorite bookshop and you want to go in there and ask, they can certainly order it for you.